question to you, Gary, is what is attention hacking? Can you give us some examples and some best practices?
Yeah, so I'm writing a new, the book I'm working on, which will come out next year, is actually called Day Trading Attention, right? That's how I think about what I do for a living. If you know, obviously, I think the term day trading is something most of the people in here will know. Somewhere along the line with technology, Wall Street became second to second, not hour to hour with paper. It became day trading on your computer. So hacking attention, or the way I think about it, day trading, is a very simple and complicated game. Where are you all spending your time? Where? Like, where are your eyeballs and ears going? It, you know, 50 years ago was television and newspapers. And so you would try to then make the best print ad to make you buy. I did that in my career. I used to spend a week making my New York Times full page ad, a week. I would be 8 hours a day, a week. Should I put this wine in this corner? Should I have a coupon down here? Like, real thinking. Now that same thinking goes into the first 3 seconds of every video I put on LinkedIn. It goes into the thumbnail. Some of my friends here are doing a really good job on LinkedIn. We were hanging out backstage, and I said to him, hey, you gotta pay attention to the copy, because LinkedIn, only the first 50 letters show up, and then you have to hit, you know, learn more. Most people won't do that. If you have a call to action link in the first 50 thing, you're gonna get a higher retention, right? Or, you know, or how do you actually think about what's happening? You're all doing it, all of you minimally. I'm aware that some of you don't have anything, not LinkedIn, not Facebook, but the far majority of this room is doing this on something. TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube Shorts. How do you get someone to stop? Especially with more content coming. So what I think a lot about is the science around the art. First 3 seconds, thumbnail, words. What time do we post? Literally, right now, I'll show him and he can confirm it to you. My team, this is the thread with the whole team on it. Look at this. We will post this today at 6:36 p.m.
It is that specific.
Like, you know, and like read the whole.
Ideal times today, 4:04 and 6:36, one reel, one image. For the reel, recommendation is a reel of you on stage.
I promise you this is a level of commitment that's very different than post that picture. So the science around the art, but then also following trends. Like when Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are eating up popular culture, is there any way for you to interject into that conversation that doesn't feel forced? How clever are you? How creative are you? You know, I saw a really good post by a B2B company where the two heads of the company, one person's name was Travis and one was Taylor. They were both dudes, but it was perfect, right? Because, you know, like, they were able to like make a reference, and I looked back, it was their highest performing post ever, right? So I'm looking at the pulse of society. You know how many people lost customers by posting during inappropriate times? So you have to have a feel for the room, which is the world. You have to know your demos. I'm making content on LinkedIn for just VCs, and the next post just to get clients, and the next post just to get talent to apply to VaynerMedia. All three of those videos are very different. I was telling those guys, everything they make is just about selling the SaaS, but they should make videos to get better talent on their sales team. They should make videos about how they run company culture. They should make, by the way, a thing that all of you should do on LinkedIn is make a post about your interests. Maybe it's French wine, maybe it's golf, maybe you're playing pickleball. You might post on LinkedIn that you have fallen in love with pickleball, go into the fact that that hour now, every day that you play pickleball in the morning, makes you fresher to be better at work. And because someone who you're trying to reach as a customer or an employee also likes pickleball, that just created consideration based on relevance for them to do business with you. So everyone's showing up in LinkedIn in their fucking suit and tie, right? But in reality, you need to show that version and this version.
Definitely.
That you're in, you know, notice, I always say, watch what I'm doing, not what I'm saying, like, or, you know, like pay attention to how I give a keynote. Like, I will make references to the New York Jets. I will make references to wine. I'm creating connection points. And all of you should be doing that in your content. If you're just saying the same thing of like, our tech works better, like, cool, but like you can only say it so many times. AI companies should be talking about time savings. You put a photo of a person watching their child play basketball in a gym, and then you say, use our tech and save an hour every day so you can go watch your kid play basketball, watch how many people stop. That's a very different emotional connection point. Because inevitably somebody on the other side of that LinkedIn post is sitting in the office right now missing a recital or a game and feels hot. We all are modern parents. We feel like shit. Our parents didn't give a fuck. We feel like shit. We feel like shit. And all of a sudden that hits you and say, wait a minute, maybe that's why I should pay up for the tech, because I do want that hour back, because I do want to eat dinner with my family once a week. And like, that's real shit. Just the real way humans work. And so my efficiency on that post will go up. This is like real shit. Like, I think it's why I laugh how people think about social media. People look at social media like it's bad, it's ruining the world, or my kid's all fucked up, or it is disproportionately the most significant engine of business growth on earth. And there isn't a close second. And yet everyone is lallygagging the shit out of it. There are less than two handfuls of people in that audience that have the commitment towards LinkedIn that is required for an industry like this that will actually drive their business. They will spend so much more energy designing their booth for this incredible conference than they will for all their content on LinkedIn this whole year. And this is a big time, this is the apex Super Bowl event, but it's still only three fucking days. There's another 362 fucking days. And not everyone's here. And you're not gonna serendipitously run into everyone you're trying to get to here, no matter how late you stay up tonight. You know, and so I don't understand how people don't understand the scale comes from LinkedIn.
When you was building your brand, who was the team players? How did you pick your team? Of the people that you need, how did you build your infrastructure to build the brand that it became today from the ground level?
I like this question. So it's funny where my brain went. The first thing that mattered to me is that I had no team for as long as humanly possible. I think, you know, I got lucky because the world of building a brand on the internet happened when I was grown. I was 30 years old before I ever made a video in my life.
Mm-hmm.
These kids don't have that opportunity. Every 13-year-old is now thinking about that day one. Every human that is under 20 years old right now is actively being a human and being the PR person of themselves. Mm-hmm. They live in a different world than we grew up in. So for me, I got lucky. And I don't like throwing around that word because that's what losing players try to throw at winners. So I use luck very carefully. But I did get fortunate, lucky, that all this popped off when I really knew who I was. You know, and things really didn't start happening to me until like 35, 38, 39. I was grown. And when I started realizing something was happening, first I did wine videos, then I did business. What was most important to me is I wanted to be in the dirt on everything. I didn't want to start hiring people doing shit I didn't know how to do because I knew that I wouldn't know how to judge them if I hadn't done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that in my dad's liquor store. The reason I was a killer and built a huge business was I made ice, I stocked shelves, I worked the register. There was not one thing that anybody that worked for me was doing that I hadn't done. And so when I was building my brand, when I realized, wait a minute, something's happening, this Gary Vee thing can pop off, before I get everybody else to like come and team up with me, I want to understand first me, what the fuck do I give a fuck about? Because just I want to be famous and make money is not like, that's something that you do, but it's not who you are. And first I want to understand like, why is this all happening? So a lot of why talk. And then the way I started building my team was hiring people to do shit that I wasn't good at or I didn't want to do.
Mm.
First person I ever had to join me in my life was an admin.
Administrator.
That's right, because I had no fucking clue how to manage my time. Like, I was saying yes to everything, and then like nine people would show up at the same place and be like, I have a meeting with you. I'd be like, fuck! You know, because I didn't write shit down, it was all in a dome, and I was good at it until it got so big, literally no bullshit. Three people would show up, because I was building my brand at my dad's liquor store, and then kind of starting to come over in New York, Jersey, New York, doing my thing. Literally one day, three people showed up on the same day, and they're like, yo, I've got a meeting. And I remember, I'm like, I'm losing. Because I'm very compassionate and empathetic, and what I was most upset about was like, I don't want these people to feel like I'm big-timing them. It's why I hate being late.
Mm-hmm.
Especially back then, I was just on the come up. Especially now, where I got a little something, I know what people are thinking, that I think my time is more valuable than theirs. So my biggest anxiety is being like 2 minutes late to a Zoom or something, because I hate that feeling. Anyway, regardless, first admin, because I had to organize my shit. And then I just needed someone to like help me. Andy, Kay, who's doing my VFriends thing with me right now, came in as an intern and was to help me with my book, Jab, 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 Right Hook. And I saw he had a little something. And I was like, wait a minute, maybe I could do something. And I was like, you know what? I gotta make more content. And I started putting a little team together. Andy, then D-Rock came, India, Steve Unwin, Zach Moy, Tyler. Like, it just started happening. And so early on, it was somebody filming whatever I was doing, like Dustin's doing now. At the time, it was a show, like the Ask Gary V show. Like, I'll do a show on YouTube and put it out. Mm. And you guys and gals need to put it on YouTube, record it and put it on YouTube, and record it and put it on a podcast. And then it started building, and then Instagram got more important. We started thinking about how to be great at Instagram, how to be great at it all. I was always doing me on Twitter. I was always doing the tweet. I was always replying because I wanted to be in the trenches and the dirt. And so after admin, it became people to scale what I wanted to put in the world, the production team behind me living my life, which then culminated in them literally following me 24/7 and filming me. I did Daily V for 5 years. That really took me to a different place. And so we keep building. I keep thinking about, what am I not good at? What don't I like? When you start making paper and you can start deploying it, because the first 7-8 years of Wine Library TV and my brand, I didn't have the money to build a team.
Yeah.
So I could be, I'm all strategist. Yeah. I want to do everything and seem like, it was also, I couldn't afford it.
I couldn't, I had a
Once you start affording it, everyone, where you got a little bit of paper, the biggest mistake people that start to pop off, get a brand deal, is they want the money to buy like a this and a this. What they should be doing is taking that money early on and hiring the people to help them do what they do great and to scale them. The kid that makes 200,000, which is a ton of money, year one when they popped, whatever it is, ads from TikTok and YouTube or a brand deal or whatever, speaking or whatever it is, that kid that goes from zero to 200K, he or she, don't forget it's 100K after taxes or 130 or whatever it is, he or she always levels up lifestyle before they level up organization.
Mm-hmm.
That kid needs to realize, no, at that 130, let me get in a 40K employee, because that 130 can be 390 next year, but what they do is they buy shit. They buy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, listen, especially knowing your story, I grew up in very humble surroundings. I know all those kids. I was in that. I get when you never had it.
Yeah.
The fucking thirst for it. I get it. My thing is, you can have more of it if you can hold your breath.
12 more months.
12, I love you for that.
But
another
12
months,
12
double
more
it up.
Months.
Another 12 months, triple up. Like, there's like, I said something once in one talk. I've never repeated it, but I'm going to repeat it. There was some sort of thing, and they're like, kid was like, I want a Porsche. I'm like, and it was talented. I was like, bro, you could buy the whole Porsche company. But the quickest way that won't happen is you focusing on buying just one Porsche right now.
Mm-hmm.
People take chips off the table too soon, Wallace.
That's major.
Now, and by the way, then that gets me into the real major shit. Yeah. Why? Because they want to flex on someone.
Flexing is everything.
Because that girl broke up with him, and so now he's going to show he's paid and she fucked up.
Yeah.
Right? Because his teacher said he was going to be a garbage man, and he's like, yo, fuck you, Mrs. Thompson.
I got
Because
it.
His daddy said, you ain't never going to amount to nothing just like me. And he's like, nah, dad, fuck you. Look at my Beamer. I get it. It's real. But it doesn't make it right. And this is why I love the world we live in. Us two, we didn't have platforms 30 years ago.
Fuck no.
Ain't no producers or Hollywood or the establishment putting us on to have a million people watch.
No.
But now us two, because of we earned our audience and the internet is democratized over the next however amount of time, millions of people over the next decade will watch this video. And one kid is gonna hear one thing out of our mouths knowing us. And she or he's gonna be like, bet.
And that's all they need.
Change. That's why church mattered. That's why parenting mattered. That's why scripture mattered. Like, it's all communication. And I continue to be compelled to do shit like this for one fucking person on the other side of these cameras to be like, actually, that's right. Fuck it. That's what I'm doing. And then getting the emails in the DMs or in the street and saying, thank you. I live for that shit. I love that shit. And I'm happy to be with you because you do that shit as well, which is why, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever answered a text faster than the other day when you hit me. I walked out of a board meeting. I walked out of a fucking board meeting. I'm like, yo. And he's like, can we chop it up? I'm like, cool, you podcast? I'm like, 100%. So thank you for having me.
Now, what's the importance of diversifying your content?
I love you for that. Clearly, maybe you've been, you know, I've been a little bit loud about this last 60 days. I'm writing a new book next year. It's going to be called Day Trading Attention. So I've been in it, trying to teach everybody how to win on every platform, TikTok, YouTube, because social media is the current place where attention is. If the metaverse comes, I'll be telling you what to do in those fucking headsets. I don't care where attention is. Cable TV 20 years ago, I'd be writing books like cable TV. 40 years ago, regular TV, regular TV. 80 years ago, radio, how to hack radio. Mm-hmm. I just want to know where the attention is. Spotify rap caviar is important today. It used to be called TRL. It used to be called The Source. Yep. It used to be like, I don't, Hot 97, I don't give a fuck. I'm agnostic to what platform has the attention. I just want to figure out where it is. I want to be great at it. I don't hear social media. I hear TikTok. And then I double click. TikTok regular post, TikTok live. Different. I don't hear LinkedIn. Not just where you put your resume. No, I hear that's a social network. Double click. There's regular posts. There's video. There's written word. There's pictures. This is science.
Mm-hmm.
It's skill. So diversifying content is the number one reason that the person on the other side of this video right now is not popping off like he wants to. People get stuck in ruts. They got something that worked for them or they're comfortable with, and they're posting the same shit they posted 5 years ago on Instagram, even though a ton of people are now on TikTok and Instagram, so there's less, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already seen all that shit from you, and they get tired. We all grew up with shit that was hot as fuck, and then 3 years later it was less hot because we got it. That's why Madonna was a beast. She was like, oh, I got you 4 years, now I'm a material girl, now let me go on a cross and some dug, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna be Vogue, and yep. She just kept mixing it the fuck up.
Remixing,
right?
Remixing.
We understand. And by the way, we see that all the time. Like, there's the people that have one pitch and they're hot for 3 years and we never heard about them again, right? And then there's people that are fucking icons. Why? Because they diversified their content. . 2024 is here now. What has been the thing you've seen in the last month that's been interesting? A person, a trend, an app, a brand, anything in the first month of the year? What has caught your attention in the game called pop culture?
The most important, the most thing I've seen is kind of wild to me is Snapchat.
Okay.
Now I don't think y'all know Snapchat. Now is different from than when it was. Like now, you know, people got these gold stars and they're posting their life all day long. Like yeah. You get paid vlogging. From Snapchat. And, yeah, the vlogging. But like, if I'm seeing Dwayne The Rock Johnson on Snap, and I'm able to see all the behind the scenes of his life. And then, you know, I'm having this talk with the Snapchat reps and stuff. And they're like, you get a whole different fan base on a Snapchat.
100%.
Side. I didn't know that. I'm a big TikTok, Instagram guy. So
where
I'm,
are you with YouTube Shorts?
I am. My man's always telling me, you gotta post on YouTube Shorts. Bro. I didn't know how big of a thing that was. Like, bro, I'm getting into it.
You need to do everything.
That's what I'm trying to get into.
This is the point, the book before we went live, when you talk about Jab, Jab, Right Hook, the book I wrote, that was like, here are the platforms that matter, here's the content that's working. So I have a—
Don't overthink it.
I have a new book coming out called Day Trading Attention. And I mean, someone like you, I mean, you, by the way, you know where your shit would go crazy?
Where?
Facebook.
Yup.
I know.
You're the fourth person that didn't tell me that.
My shit goes crazy on Facebook. I'm like some old geezer.
Well, of course your shit goes crazy.
I'm saying, but like,
you're fucking heartthrob to those 80-year-old fucking women.
They're
on
like,
there.
Oh my God.
They're like, this young boy is amazing.
I'm all his shit. I was checking all your Instagram right there. People going crazy, but that's fun.
Yeah.
That's
bro, Facebook. Bro, the number one thing you need to do out of this podcast is go home and realize, okay, I've been bullshitting. Mm. I need to do YouTube Shorts proper. I'm real proud of you because Snap is the one that everybody misses.
I've been killing it.
Snap is real shit. Snap, YouTube Shorts is incredibly— YouTube Shorts is TikTok, but you won't get as much reach up front, but long term, because people search and then it leads to your main channel. That is like oxygen.
I gotta go. I just didn't. Shit.
And Facebook, what? First of all, a couple things that people don't realize. The amount of 20 to 30 year olds that are on Facebook still, they're not going 18 hours a day like they're on TikTok, but they're going. But nobody contemporary is making shit for it. So they're just, it's the same shit as Snap. All this is day trading attention. Where's there more attention than people that are good making content? There's the arbitrage. The reason I went crazy about TikTok 5 years ago was I was on it when it was Musical.ly. And I was just waiting and waiting. And then there was a tipping point 2 years before COVID where I was like, oh fuck, it's there. And so I got loud because I was winning, but I wanted other people to win. And so that's what's always going on. I mean, that is imperative. And then finally, live streaming.
Twitch.
Bro, Twitch. Yeah. And even better than Twitch, actually, because Twitch is hard. Like, I only have 500 people watching right now. You have to build up over time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got to earn it. It's going to be a grind. TikTok Live puts you into fucking people's feeds while you're on. So on Instagram, you go on, mm-hmm. it pings all your users, and a certain percentage comes over, and then it declines. So, you know, depending on your audience side, for me, it's like 2,000 come on right away. And then 5 minutes later, if I'm yapping, I look up in the corner, it's 800. Yeah. It declines because my crew gets pinged. They check it out. They're like, I don't give a fuck what Gary's doing. They're out. Mm-hmm. TikTok, you go on, it pings. That's right. And so you start, you look over, there's 600. And then you look an hour later, you weren't even doing anything proper. Right. And there's 4,000 people there.
Yeah.
Because they keep. Facts. So. And here's the big thing I'm saying to you three, and obviously I'm saying it for everyone at home who's watching live now and who's watching, listening on the podcast in the next weeks or a year from now. The key is to day trade attention. When something's there, you gotta squeeze it because it's not always there. Mm-hmm. All those fuckers didn't jump to TikTok when I was saying it because they had a nice little gig on Instagram mm-hmm. and they were nice and cozy getting their 1,000 likes there and they felt good about their self-esteem because on TikTok they had no followers. The problem was once the attention moved, winning on Instagram now is hard. Mm-hmm. Supply and demand. Mm-hmm. The end. Heard?
Yes.
You right now in this hot moment, are you fucking kidding me? YouTube Shorts, Facebook,
Chat says something new, it's Instagram Reels.
Yeah, Reels are great, but listen, this is what I do for a living. I'm not even going by my content. This company spends billions of dollars in advertising and makes millions of pieces of ads a year. Like, I can see the whole, I'm in it, and I'm that guy. I'm proud of how good I am at it, but I have much more data than everybody.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, Instagram's great. It's harder. Mm-hmm. If you do the same effort on Instagram that you would do on Facebook, Snap, YouTube Shorts, or TikTok, you will get more on all four of those than Instagram. Instagram is the established social network right now.
Yeah.
Not like unbelievable amounts of content put on Instagram with a heavy percentage. Every minute that somebody spends on TikTok today was an Instagram minute 5 years ago.
It's fair.
Gary, do you think that's why, like, it seems like Instagram is more valuable? If you have a large, like, I'll put it this way. I know people who have a million followers on
TikTok
and aren't really monetized.
Yeah.
If you have a million followers on Instagram, you're caked.
Different ballgame.
When you say monetized, ads from the platform?
I just mean they're not getting a lot of brand deals. Yeah, they're not getting. Yeah. And so, like, how come?
That's because the decision makers in corporations are behind the times.
Yeah. Mm. So not a million followers isn't as valuable to brands as 500,000 Instagram followers.
For another 24 months and then it will flip.
Yeah.
The problem is go get a million followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
No way.
It's hard.
It's very hard.
It's very hard.
TikTok, you can get one in a month.
You're close, aren't you?
I did it in a month.
Yeah.
I'm at 500K, 550,
now,
I think.
He could decide he wants to, and if he did and then took his attention, then you're trading your own attention. Yeah. If he wanted to get to a million, he could.
Yeah.
He would just decide for the next 3 weeks to go ham on TikTok and push everyone to Instagram, maybe do a contest. Everybody follow me there. I'm going to pick three of you and have dinner tonight in the city. Right. Guess what? That 550 will be 730 tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he might not want to because followers aren't the same anymore. The social media I grew up with was email marketing.
Yeah.
You would get a million followers and then 35% of a certain percentage of them would see it. Now, there's people, I got 15 million followers on TikTok. There's people on their first post getting more views on that video than me because the content is the variable, not how many followers you have.
Yeah.
All of us stopped following people because the algorithm sends it to
send
us.
It to us, yeah.
So they're like, oh, I like this Gary Vee stuff, but like, they're like, I'll say it again. Yeah. You don't think the way we did 6 years ago and you follow. This is a real fucking game.
It's about how many likes you have on your
engagement,
TikTok page.
And not even likes, yeah.
Comments.
It all changes.
Or like just, watch time.
Nope. Yeah, watch
shares.
Time.
Yeah. Right now on Instagram, it's shares. This is what I spent on. Like shares is the call to action there.
Yeah.
So it just, and by the way, and in 3 months, Instagram might want something else to be the thing. And TikTok this. So this is real fucking shit. Yeah.
All right, Gary, we know you're a big social media influencer. Yep. Eli is kind of new to the social media aspect.
Yes.
Until he was retired
yeah.
to open up the social media accounts, which I think was wise.
Yeah.
He didn't want to blow up.
He could hear the feelings in the stadium. He didn't need to see it on the internet.
I didn't need to
hear the booze and lies coming at your phone. But I want to just give Eli some tips. Since he's new to this, what can he do to grow his influence following?
You know, I think the thing that a lot of us loved to learn about Eli, especially post-career, but you can even see it when he was playing, is the sense of humor thing is there. And so for me, TikTok is something that is a real worthwhile venture for you. Really? I think the dance moves? No, that's what everybody thought like 6-7 years ago. TikTok is now the predominant social network and it is very conducive to humor.
What would I do on TikTok?
You would do whatever you want, right? And so like literally even like
Sean a noogie?
That would probably get at least 100,000 views.
Yeah. Give him a wedgie?
That's at least a million.
Okay. A million?
Atomic. Atomic. Over the head. That's 10 million. Yeah,
But I really think TikTok's one place to look. I think the other place, one thing I've also observed from afar, we haven't really chopped it up, but your business ambitions are real. And so LinkedIn has actually become a monster social network. And I think people still think of it as like a recruiting tool, but using LinkedIn as a social network to talk about your business observations, the things you're thinking about, the kind of businesses you're interested in, business advice that you've learned, things you've learned about entrepreneurship that's similar to the athletic realm. I think LinkedIn would be another place to really think about it. I think those two stand out. As a third, I do think, and I continue to believe this, we talked about it earlier about the Gunner or like things that, you know, when you guys watch football, you see different things than the casual fan. I still believe on Twitter, breaking down something that people don't see, and you guys do this anyway, but on social, breaking down something that people don't understand, I think is very, very valuable. Because what we see, and you guys know this, I've always been fascinated by the film room the next day, because I've seen players through the years. I understand football enough to know that there's certain people in the secondary who don't want to take the blame for a mistake and will literally react to get the crowd to think it wasn't their fault.
Correct.
Yeah. And I'm like, but that guy has to go in. Yeah.
Looking around.
And they're like pointing and they're like, no, that was your assignment, right?
The guy, defensive guy comes over and he goes, that was my fault.
Yeah.
I messed up that coverage. I can't believe I blew that. It's not on you. And everybody thinks that he's yelling at the other guy.
And so I think like jumping in Twitter, social commentating of like what happened there was two guys ran the wrong route. It happened last night. The reason Slay got that pick was two guys ended up in the same place. Clearly something went wrong.
Yeah.
Those kind of observations in real time on social are wildly valuable.
I think so. What I'm gathering is on TikTok, Eli should break down the butt fumble.
Yes, I think you should break down the butt fumble. Actually, you know what's so funny, Sean? The butt fumble doesn't hurt me. I'm just trying to get out of here without talking about Victor Cruz's touchdown against the Jets. To this day, and Eric Smith, if you're watching, I loved you, number 33 for the Jets. Great player, nice hit hard, almost ended Anquan Boldin's career here. But that play, like literally, I will go into this Sunday thinking about that, praying to God.
Are you blaming Eric Smith? Or are you blaming?
I'm blaming Eric Smith.
It's Cromartie.
I know.
Took a dive.
Throw.
Yeah, great throw. Cromartie's
great throw.
Blown up, Victor.
Yes, I understand, but I still have a lot of feelings. I understand.
That started the salsa.
Yeah,
that was like crazy right there.
What really crazy? You know what's crazy about Victor's career? I was here for that preseason game.
Yeah.
I was like, who's this guy? UMass? I remember, and we were just coming off of Krebet coming out of left field, 4 or 5 years, 7 years earlier. And I was like, man, I hope this Cruz character isn't a real player. He ended up being a very real player.
No doubt.
I'm just curious, were you here when Eli bled? During the Jets guys preseason game?
I sure did.
I remember.
That was scary.
I was here for October 94, 3. I was here for the Brandon Marshall in the corner. Like that was the big one for us. But we didn't make the playoffs in 15. The game we won here, it was, that's why I'm excited for this Sunday. It's gonna be the second time I'm in this stadium as a road visitor. And so we'll do it again.
Gary Vee, I love it. It's all gold. One more thing you said recently to an audience that I thought was great, and I'm going to quote you. A lot of you in here think consuming this information makes you think that you're doing it, I mean, they care, it's good, but consuming it is not the same as doing it, and that's coming from somebody who creates a lot of content. What is the difference between consuming it and actually going out and doing it? It seems self-evident, but lay that out.
I think our friendship has been based on, like, real admiration of our talents about talking about stuff, and I'm so fascinated you saw that. I believe it's one of the more unique pieces of content I put out in the last 2 years. I was basically telling an entire crowd, stop listening to me.
Right.
Literally to their face. I'm like, please.
Yeah, but you did tell them to buy your book, though.
Yeah, well, you know, I was trying to make a joke at it. And by the way, anybody wants to buy my upcoming books, I'm thrilled.
That's
I'm
what
an
I
entrepreneur.
Set you up for, my man.
No, but real talk, back to like what I'm trying to set up for your audience, because
yep.
I love them,
yep.
is, look, you can read about push-ups and watch people on the internet doing them, but if you don't do them, the thing's not going to happen. All these people that consume motivation, and I can tell you the insights right now, like posting on Facebook right now, underrated. You want to sell stuff, you want to get more people aware of your show or your business, Facebook. But just listening to me say that right now, if you don't now go to Facebook and post a video, you won't get the results. And we have career content consumers. They read every Tony Robbins book. They watch all my videos. They're constantly motivated, but they don't do. 2024 has to be the year that you actually start doing.
Gary Vee joining me for a few more moments.